You are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
Hey everyone, this is Leo Costa coming to you from SeriousGrowth.com. You know, I came back out of retirement, so to speak, at least from the sport of bodybuilding, because I started reading articles and kind of getting my pulse back on what was going on in the industry. And the initial reason why I was coming out was to, you know, I wanted to expose fake trainers. I wanted to set the story straight. Because in my background in bodybuilding and the training courses that were written, one of the main emphasis and focuses were or was to create a formula, a strategy with regards to training, and to be able to reproduce results in a nutshell. You just can't think that you're just going to go willy-nilly and, you know, do training and that magically all these results are going to happen. It doesn't work that way. There's a whole big process of this. And as Albert Einstein said, I like quoting him because he was so right, just like my dad was. First, real results or real knowledge is through firsthand experience. And I guess this is why I'm coming out and talking today, because the theme of this show would be what they're not talking about. And a lot of these people, and I have to tell you, you know, I'm listening to other people doing podcasts and interviews, and I'm going to specifically isolate and hone this down into diet at this point, because this is my contention today on this. And the real issue is that there's some really smart people out there that are talking about the big trend now that is keto. And, you know, when I was coming through, it was the Atkins diet, the high-fat diet. Now it's keto. I mean, keto is actually something now that's, you might want to say, kind of it's a positive thing. When I was coming through talking about the high-fat diet, anabolic diet, Atkins diet, it was more taboo. And, you know, first of all, the keto diet is nothing more than the next, if you want to call it, evolution or iteration of what's been going on now for years. It's just at a point now where people accept it. And we got a lot of people talking about this, you know, the keto diet. Smart people. And so there's a lot of confusion out there when it comes to this. And I think what's really missing, no, I don't think, it's what's missing now in this whole process is to the nth degree command of, in this case, the keto or diet, in the diet aspect. The people that I'm hearing talking out there about these diets are people who, and these are, some are doctors, some have written books about this, but they're not really talking about the diet and this, and its process and how it actually works. They're talking more in general terms. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was how these diets work based on your physiology. One of the persons that I listened to when they were talking about the keto diet, they never once spoke about the process of how the body goes through the transition from a glucose metabolism to a free fatty acid metabolism. They never even talked about that. So, you know, even though they're scientific in this case, I'm speaking about a doctor, I'm not going to name any names, I don't have to, but even though that they have written a book and they supposedly know everything about this diet, one of the things in their podcast or their interview was they never really got down to how it actually, the diet actually worked. And I think that's doing a disservice to the individuals that they're talking to, because you leave people stupid that way. you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, that you have to get in real technical terms, but you have to make people understand what it is and how this particular diet works. So what's missing is they're not boiling this thing down to begin with and saying, look, most people are on a glucose metabolism. You have two metabolisms, free fatty acid and glucose metabolism, okay? And think of it this way. I'm going to try to put this down in layman terms. The two metabolisms are not operating simultaneously. Think of it as a port of entry. It's called the Krebs cycle. Now, the distinction between a glucose metabolism and a free fatty acid metabolism are the amount of carbohydrates that your body ingests. And that the number, if there's a range, is between 30 to 40 grams, just to be safe, of carbohydrates a day. In other words, when you eat 30 to 40 grams of carbohydrates 3 days in a row, how the physiology responds to that is it's going to start flipping its metabolism. It's going to shift. It's going to shift from a glucose metabolism to a free fatty acid metabolism. So when that happens, the port in which the glucose has been coming through is now going to start shutting down because you're only taking so many grams of carbs in. Your body's going to shut that port down, and it's going to open up the free fatty acid metabolism. Now, what's the difference between those metabolisms? Well, when you're in a glucose metabolism, your body is utilizing or burning sugar as its main energy. And kind of the progression of that, in simple terms, is that your body, it's going to break down energy according to what's the easiest to break down. So in the glucose metabolism, it's going to break down sugar first, which sugar comes in simple sugar and complex carbohydrates. It's going to utilize that first because it's the easiest to break down. Your body likes to take the path of least resistance, so it'll do that. Protein is usually next in line, and then you have fat. Now, when you're in a free fatty acid metabolism, things change. Your body is now utilizing and burning fat as its main energy source. Okay, so now one of the first questions that people have asked me is a common question, is they say, well, how is it that you know, they think that you need carbohydrates to sustain, to have energy. And to a certain extent, that's true. But here's where these doctors and these people that are talking about this stuff don't explain this to the nth degree, okay? And when your body flips over to a free fatty acid metabolism, okay, it starts using fat as its energy source. The only thing that you need carbohydrates for is a very small amount for your brainstem. And your body can actually break down protein. There's a carbon and protein that they can break down and utilize that for the brainstem. Otherwise, your body does not need carbohydrates for energy. That's a myth. That is incorrect information. In fact, you will notice that if you are on a high-fat diet, I'm going to call it what it is, a high-fat diet, you'll actually have more energy. It's more sustainable. It's a slower burning energy as compared to a glucose metabolism. So the myth that's out there is that you need carbohydrates to exist and to feel good, and that's not true. Fat is a very good source of energy. And so that's what happens with your metabolism, first of all. So now here's the problem, and I can tell, by the way, when I'm listening to these doctors or some of the people in the industry who think they know about the keto or how carbohydrates are, you know, inflaming the body. And again, there's a certain amount of what they're saying that is true. But I can tell by the way these people are talking about these diets that they've never really had much firsthand experience. And I can tell you this, when you're an athlete, especially in the sport of bodybuilding, because your body is on a daily basis, we are constantly experimenting. Our bodies are our labs. If you really want to know how diets work and how macros work within your body, you talk to a well-traveled, world-level student of the game bodybuilder, not your everyday meathead bodybuilder, because a lot of those guys don't know what the hell they're doing. They're getting told what to do by a trainer. So I'm not talking about that group of people, but for the people that are students of the game and really take that extra energy to find out what the hell is going on and how you can make macros a lot more efficient in your body, you talk to those people. And it's clear to me that the people that are on that I've seen, and I haven't seen everybody that I've seen, they really don't understand it to that degree, you know? And the reason why people have had a problem staying on the high fat diet, high protein, call it what you will, is because there are fewer options in that particular diet, the keto diet. I just want to make clear that the keto diet, the anabolic diet was another one. It's one that I wrote with Dr. Marlo Di Pasquale, who, by the way, to this day, I think is the only person that really understands how the free fatty acid metabolism really works. And I really would love to have them on the show because he's the one that really gets this. And the Atkins diet, those three diets they're all the same. They're same because they're accessing the free fatty acid metabolism. So the reason why people have such a hard time staying on those diets is because, think of it, if you had to eat just protein, fat, and you could have a little bit of salad, you could have a little bit of carbohydrate, but believe me, 30 grams of carbohydrates is only 120 calories a day. That's nothing. So you're essentially on a, you know, protein and salad diet, if you will, just to keep it nice and simple. Well, how long do you think that most people are going to be able to withstand that? Most won't. I mean, even bodybuilders who have a mindset that, you know, we'll eat shit if you tell us that it's going to make us put on muscle. Even those and us in that industry will not tolerate that for long periods of time. I can assure you that. That's the reality of that. But here's the good news. There's ways to make the high-fat diet a lot more, not only a lot more productive, but a lot more tolerable for the long haul. For example, and this is something that I'm not hearing from these people on the internet, these so-called experts, doctors, is that you don't have to stay on the high-fat diet for the whole time, 7 days a week, day in and day out, because those that know about how the physiology works knows that it takes 3 days for your body to transition from one metabolism to the other. So with that being said, here's how you can all of a sudden make keto, anabolic diet, Atkins diet function in a different way and more tolerable, because now you can have more variety. It goes like this. Let's just say that we start our high-fat diet or keto diet on a Monday. Okay, by Wednesday, your body is going to transition into ketosis, where it's utilizing fat now and burning fat as energy, all right? So once you're in ketosis, by Wednesday, Thursday, you'd stay in it. Friday, you'd stay in it. So you'd stay in it from Monday through Friday. Okay, because by the third day, you're full-blown burning fat as your energy source. Now, here's what you can do to make this diet a lot more tolerable, is you can actually, on the weekend, you can eat any carbohydrate. Now, again, keep in mind that what I'm telling you is all also based on the amount of calories that you're taking in based on what your goal is. Keep that in mind. But in general terms, on Saturday and Sunday, you can have whatever carbohydrate that you want. And people will say, well, if you take carbohydrates on Saturday and Sunday, then isn't your body going to be now in carbohydrate or a glucose metabolism? Well, just as I said, it takes 3 days to transition from glucose to free fatty acid metabolism. And the same thing happens with transitioning back into glucose. So now what you're doing is you're getting the best of both worlds. So even though you're taking those carbohydrates in like that for the 2 days, your body doesn't switch over into the glucose metabolism. So consequently, what happens when you do that, because when you take protein and fat in, your body is a natural diuretic. When you're in free fatty acid metabolism, your body is in, it's more, it has a more diuretic effect because carbohydrates by its own profile makeup has a higher water content, okay? And when you are on a high fat or keto diet, your body will start shedding water. So this is the reason why when people way back when went on the Atkins diet, they would lose a lot of weight in the beginning. It was because of that reason. You know, it wasn't because they were losing all body fat. It was because they were losing some body fat, but it was mostly water because of that diuretic effect. Okay. So what happens is when you start carb loading on the weekend, what's going to happen is you're going to fill back up. That sugar that you're taking in, that glucose is going to go, it's going to be driven back into the muscle. You're going to feel full and tight. And when you've had too many carbohydrates, then one of the side effects from having too many carbs is that your body will get lethargic and you'll get a little bit, you won't feel as energetic as you do during the week. And that's all just because you've now over carb loaded on the weekend, but it has nothing to do with your body transitioning over back into glucose metabolism. Now, again, for those who really understand, you know, how do you deal with that lethargy on the weekend? Because there's a way to do that. And I learned this from when I was doing it. So again, right now what we're talking about now is making this diet now more tolerable. So we call it a 52 diet. 5 days, in this case, I did it during the week because on the weekend I like to socialize more. It can be any combination of 2 days, but you have to do 5 days in a row where you're on 30 grams of carbs or less. And then on those 2 days, you can carb load, okay? You don't have to worry about taking in protein during those 2 days. Your body's had so much during the 5 days, forget about that. Now, one of the things that I learned, and again, I'm not hearing this anywhere on the internet. There's a good carb and a bad carb. What the hell does that mean? I haven't heard anybody coherently explain what the hell that means. Okay. So what I learned was that in order for me to mitigate the feeling lethargic on the weekend, because what I did in my bodybuilding days is I would carb load way up. I ate a certain amount of calories during the week. I averaged about 25 to 2,700 calories during the week. And again, I'm on the high fat, in the free fatty acid metabolism. On the weekend, what I would do is I would carb load and I would eat 20,000 calories over the weekend. 10,000 on Friday, 10,000 on Saturday. I mean, 10,000 on Saturday, 10,000 on Sunday. Okay. Now, part of the reason why I did that was I wanted to be extreme in my carb loading because it did more than just fill my body up. Obviously, the negative side effect was feeling that sluggishness, okay? Because that's what it does to your body if you get too much sugar in your body. It's a crash and you get really, you know, really lazy. So what I learned how to do was when I started carb loading, I started eating more fat in my diet, okay? Now, why is that important? And this ties and talks to the good carb versus bad carb. What that fat did when I took fat in along with my carbohydrate loading, that fat, part of the process of what fat does is it absorbs sugar. So that sugar that was in my body now, instead of me having a really strong spike, and this is what happens to a lot of people now that are on a glucose metabolism. They're constantly spiking their body with too many carbs, and they crash from that. So this is all what I was doing through my adding fat to my diet on the weekend, is that fat would slow the release of sugar into my bloodstream. Now, all of a sudden, that lethargy that I was experiencing virtually went away. I didn't have those negative side effects. So here I had the best of both worlds. I was eating the high fat diet, which there's some benefits to that. And we'll talk about that as far as the what carbs do to your joints. I had the benefit of being on that high protein diet. And for bodybuilding, in those days, and I still believe in that diet, by the way. It was about getting protein in. You have to take in a lot more protein than was thought of because your body goes through a lot of stress and it needs protein. So I did that. I was doing it for specific reasons. On the weekend, when I carb loaded that heavily, not only did I want to fill my body back up with sugar, but what we know about the physiology, and this has to do with the fight or flight nervous system, when your body perceives a threat of any kind, hell, I just had a dog fight at my house last night. I went into fight or flight mode. I mean, your body does that when there's any kind of threat. My point is, it doesn't matter if it's in the gym or with diet or a dog fight, your body kicks into that because it perceives a threat. It's a protection for you. Okay, so when the body, when I had that much carbohydrates in my system, the body perceived that I was under attack by sugar. Okay, so what it did is it secreted natural growth hormone, believe it or not. So again, the person that is in this and that really understands how to make macros work, so you can see that to the degree, that's why I call it to the nth degree, to the minute degree of how each one of these macros work, all of a sudden you weaponize your diet. There's a reason why you're doing every single thing for a specific outcome. In that case, it was to secrete growth hormone. Another way to secrete growth hormone, naturally, believe it or not, was heavy cigarette smoking or laying out in the sun and the guy's getting direct sunlight to the genital area. Anything that was extreme like that naturally secreted growth hormone. So back in those days, you know, before I learned about human growth hormone, we were doing it like that. So there was a reason for everything that we were doing. And this is one of the things I'm not hearing out there. It's like, okay, you know, you remind me, some of you people out there that are talking shit about this keto diet and all these diets, you know stuff, but you don't know it to a degree that you can really explain it as to why certain things are happening, okay? And it's just like, you know, I've always felt that because I know how carbohydrates are and their process of that, carbohydrates are actually the problem in our society as far as health reasons. And I think this is where the people that are talking about keto got that right, okay? That is the case. And that has more to do with the amount of carbohydrate intake, because I got news for you. You know, usually where you have problems as far as your body getting inflamed from carbohydrates is when you're taking in refined or processed sugar, okay? That has a tendency of inflaming the joints in the body, and that's real. There's no question about that. So if you take out the processed sugar in your body, you're definitely going to get a response from that. But it's not just processed sugar, because if you are taking, you can have eat clean carbohydrates, and you're still going to get that response if you're taking too much in. In fact, the body, in order for you to, you know, again, perceiving it as a threat, if you take in too many good carbohydrates, clean carbs, or whatever you want to call them, healthy carbs, your body can't assimilate all those carbohydrates. So what the hell do you think it's doing with that? I haven't heard anybody talk about this yet. Maybe I haven't listened to it in a podcast, but at this point, I haven't heard them say that the process is that your body, because it's perceiving a threat and it wants to protect you, it takes that extra carbohydrate and it stores it as a triglyceride. Now, just because it's storing it as a triglyceride doesn't necessarily mean that that's bad. It has to do with the triglyceride count getting too high, because you see, a triglyceride can actually be, it's just stored fat, and it can actually be very useful for you. Triglyceride in the fat is very good for balancing your hormones. Fat is useful, but when you go overboard, even if it's a clean carbohydrate, it's going to have the same negative effect. You know, another thing I'm not hearing, and I don't expect to hear from these people, as I'm, you know, I keep thinking, well, how can these people be this damn smart and not understand this? Okay, what's the process? You know, there's this big debate about a calorie is a calorie, and some say, no, you're a product of what you eat. And it's bullshit. You're not a product of what you eat. You are a product of how much you eat. And of course, so how does that process work? When you take food in, do you think that your physiology really knows exactly what you're taking in as much as it understands when there's too much of what you're taking in? It doesn't, because the process basically is your body eats food and it breaks it down into energy that is used as heat to fuel the body. Every damn food that you eat does the same thing. Okay, think of it like a piece of coal. It breaks down to this energy, this coal that your body uses, C-O-A-L, not cold, C-O-A-L. And then it goes on to use it as energy. So why does it matter then what you're eating necessarily? If you're eating too much of one thing, anything that's overdone will cause some issue no matter what. You know, if you take a bottle of aspirin, if you take 30 aspirin, you'll probably kill yourself because you bleed out. Now, aspirin is supposed to be really healthy for you, but it's a way that you use this. You use these macros, okay? You also should know that there's glycemic index values, okay? I think most people know that, or most of these professionals know that, but let's talk about that. Why is that important? What does that mean? If you're taking in carbohydrates that have a high glycemic index value, it's going to break down in your system very quickly and leave very quickly. A baked potato has a very high glycemic index value, and it responds very much the same as when you eat a piece of candy, because you spike the body. It's high glycemic, high sugar, breaks down very quickly. It has this whole process. Your pancreas secretes insulin. And then what we do normally is we keep sugar shocking ourselves. But if you are somebody out there that's professing diet, especially if you're professing a certain style of diet, why don't you tell people how to make it more efficient? Because to think that the average person is going to go out here and even following a keto diet or a high-fat diet or this and that and the other diet, if you think that most people are going to go out and follow through with that, well, they're not. That's the reality. So why don't we talk about how to create a solution and something that's user-friendly? And why don't we start talking about how to compartmentalize macros? Why don't we do that? My question is, why don't we do that? My suspicion is because the people that are out there doing this don't understand how in the hell to make macros, how to weaponize macros, okay? Because it's like I said, it's simply, you know, if you want to make a bad carb a good carb, just add fat. Fat is not the culprit. I heard one doctor talking about that, you know, they still think that fat is a culprit. And even in the keto diet, they're suggesting that you take in protein. And protein is the answer. But what they're not addressing, I didn't hear it. They're not addressing, well, should you take, usually, protein has a normal fat intake, okay? And I will admit that when you're taking in red meat or chicken, and if it's lean, okay, that's going to be leaner and lower in fat. Now, that person that's professing that you should take that, especially when you're in a keto diet, and you're taking a protein intake that does not have enough fat, you're defeating the whole purpose of that freaking diet. Why? Because fat is the main energy source. You need the damn fat. But people that don't understand that process, like these so-called experts, are saying that they're veering away from that. Oh, fat is the culprit. You need more protein because protein is more metabolically active, and I agree with that. But that's not the point, because you're in a free fatty acid diet, metabolism. Your body needs fat as energy. Why the hell are you cutting fat out of your diet? Are you afraid to say fat in a diet? Because most of you are. Fat is healthy if you know how to use it. This is just a couple of examples, and it gets me really fired up, as you can tell. Probably not good for me. So anyway, the crux of this show today was, I just want that, you know, the people that are talking out there, get your shit straight. Understand your product to the nth degree. And if you're doing that, if you're not talking to people in terms like I'm doing. Maybe it's for your own reasons. Maybe you think the people are just too stupid to get this. Well, I say it a different way. Maybe you just don't have enough command of what you're talking about to be able to break it down into layman terms so where they can understand it. Maybe you have self-interest, because we all do, that, you know, your way of eating is the best way. And so you're not really being unbiased about that, okay? Because the truth of the matter is this, and I can only tell you from being in an industry for nearly 38 years now, and I can tell you about human nature, and I'm basing it on, you know, the stuff that I've learned in the trenches firsthand. When it comes to dieting, most people are still confused, and it's because of the industry, because we can't seem to tell the truth. And if you know that the average length of time that people stay on a diet is around a month before they start transitioning, why in the hell aren't we just creating a user-friendly diet? And I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying I'm not guilty of it, because I'm in my own business and I sell training courses and I like making money too. But for the people that are not talking about this side of it, at least to make people informed and let them make their choice. If you can't tell them that in good conscience that you can set up a diet for them, and there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. You don't necessarily have to be on a keto diet now, because that's now the best thing since sliced bread. Bullshit. I happen to believe in the high-fat diet. That's not the point. The point is, it's not the only diet that one should be on. And if you think that you're that person, that you really think that, then you're misinformed. Because you can create a very healthy diet with people that are on a glucose metabolism. But you just got to know how to use that damn fat and that glycemic index value. You really have to understand and know enough about that to make that work for that person. If you can't do that, in my opinion, you shouldn't be on the air. You shouldn't be talking about this stuff. Your intentions are halfway good. I commend you for that. But you need to have more command of what you're doing. All right. I'm done. I just wanted to get that off my chest before I exploded. And for those of you who have more questions about this, check us out online. Thanks a lot.